If your job is on life support, you need the Job Doctor. My brain is a walking database of thousands of case studies on how careers rise and fall. I'll help you diagnose what's really going on. It's the guidance you need to get back on track from someone who's been there. You can make the money you always wanted to make, doing the type of work you have always wanted to do. You may just need a little help from the Job Doctor. Hello, everybody. This is the Job Doctor. The doctor is in. Today, we will be talking with Tyler. He's got a problem that's pretty common for a lot of people, which is why I think you'll want to listen to this episode. He's had a difficult time landing a job in an environment where there's a lot of jobs and something's going wrong and we don't know what it is. So Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hi. Would you mind, Tyler, giving us just a really quick history on what kind of jobs you're looking for and what's been happening to you as you apply for jobs?
Well, I've always been, you know, the tech person. I went back to school to get a cybersecurity certificate. And I've been applying heavily in the IT space, just the entry level IT space, and even some cybersecurity gigs, but with like no luck. And I've just been honestly helping people on the side to supplement the income until I can find a job like that.
Well, this is interesting because cybersecurity is one of the hottest spaces right now. So there has to be something going on. I've asked you for your resume so that I can look at it while we talk. And here's what's interesting to me. For a guy who has cybersecurity information training, which is really a cool thing to have, and for somebody who has received quite a few awards, you got the President's Innovation Award, right? In college.
Yep. It was in college. I was a music business major. Mm-hmm. And NAM is the National Association of Music Merchants. And it was basically a semester's tuition and a grant out to the annual convention for being a top-notch music business student in the nation.
So. Congratulations. And you were also an Honor Society student. But here's what's interesting about this, Tyler. I can't find that on your resume on the first page. And by the first page, they are done looking at you. You've already missed the opportunity to share that you do, you know, cybersecurity stuff and that you have some current information on that because that's clear at the very, it's at the very bottom, I guess, of the first page.
Right.
Let's talk about what I see on your resume. And this is so common for people. I see self-employed. Right? 2012 to present. Now that's going to be for some people, what's going on with this guy? You know, why is he not working for a company and now he wants to work for a company? So we have to address that issue, first of all. Second thing that I see is I see that you've done some work doing some podcast producing, and I can see that you've been a data center technician and you've done some executive producing, video producing again, and then Jimmy John's. Now, here's what's difficult for an employer. An employer on your resume is wondering who you really are because there's just a lot of different things going on. They don't know whether they should look at you for a podcast producer, whether they should look at you for something in IT because your resume is showing all these different things. The thing I would recommend that we do with you very first off is we say, what are the three, I call it the elevator speech to the elevator speech. What are the three kind of key words that really describe the job that you would be optimally placed in? Is cybersecurity one of those things?
I'd like it to be.
Okay. One of those. You'd like it? Okay. Tell me optimally, what job would we land? What would be your dream job right now?
A cybersecurity analyst, either in doing that proper or even just doing risk governance compliance type
I
of work.
Love that. Okay. We're talking about words that make you lots of money, and I like that. So cybersecurity would be one of the words. Your latest stuff, tell me, you've been self-employed, mm-hmm. computer repair, tech support, right?
Right.
Is there any particular one area of expertise that you would say that you have in that time between, I mean, that's 10 plus years of experience.
I mean, most of it revolves around computer repair and figuring out what's going on with people's internet, either on the home network side, or I've even, for the older clientele, I've contacted their ISP to see what's going on their end and seeing if they have any problems.
Perfect. All right. So here are the words that you are telling me that would certainly yield a better job for you. Risk governance, cybersecurity, IT specialist. So what I would do on your resume is I would lead with a banner at the very top that has those three words across the top. Then whoever's looking at it says, wow, that's what I'm looking for. That's the person I want to hire. And they don't have to sort through all the stuff in your resume. Then we're going to go down and we're going to give them one more reason to love you. Now, the next question you have to answer, you have no summary on your resume. You just go straight to job experience. But a summary really isn't just a whole bunch of buzzwords together.
I've recently been adapting kind of a cover, like a cover letter sort of thing, saying that I come from a customer service and a little bit of a technical background and how I'd like to pivot into the IT specialist sort of realm.
Okay.
I customize it for a particular company that I'm applying for.
So finish that. That's a great start. Finish this sentence for me. I am the person you'd hire if you're a company that needs to do X. And think about your dream job, not the jobs you've done, the job you're trying to seek.
Say that question again.
I'm the person that you would hire if your company is trying to do X. And let me give you a way to think about it. Let me give you an example that might help. For me, I'm going to position myself. I'm the person that you'd hire if you're trying to grow fast and have an aggressive merger acquisition strategy, and you need to put in place infrastructure to grow your HR. That's me. So I'm not a 25-year HR veteran. I'm helping solve this particular problem for companies. So what problem, ideally, are you trying to solve for companies?
Wow, I've never really thought of myself in that realm, in a cybersecurity type role, because best answer I would give to that is to be all things knowing in risk and compliance in terms of cybersecurity, in terms of securing your network.
All right. So there's a few keywords. I don't profess to get this entirely right in a 25-minute podcast, but what you would need to do is say, to summarize and say, I am the person you'd hire if you were trying to reduce risk in your company and you need somebody who can wear lots of hats and be an IT specialist. Help manage virus, spyware, software applications for your people, and help reduce the risk of, bad characters out there. Now, I've said it wrong, but really want to get that sentence really streamlined to one sentence or two sentences that says, this is the problem I solve for you. Once you've done that, you've established with those three keywords across the top and your sentence whether or not somebody wants to look at your resume. And your resume today doesn't have that. And so people don't have the patience to look through and find the keywords that they want. But if you feed it to them at the top, you can get them to read more. Now, the other thing you're going to need to do on your resume is you're going to have to put some of those skill sets and certifications at the top of your resume. So you've got the CCNA, you've got the Security Plus, the Linux, you need to put those in skills right at the top after we do the summary so they can see you have the right certifications. And I would really recommend that you do some courses with Google. Google has some courses online that you can be tested against that are IT related so that you can say you have that certification. It's one step up from, it's not a college degree and it's not a associate's degree, but what it is a certificate that at least holds a little weight to it. That's more than just taking an online LinkedIn course.
Right.
Companies have to know the problem that you're going to solve for them. That is how you get leverage. In fact, your resume has no leverage whatsoever until you can describe the problem you're going to solve for them. That's what they're doing, is hiring against a problem they have. And so that's why it's so important to get that top thing just right. Now, you've had 12 plus years experience doing IT related things. So the next thing I would recommend that you spend some time thinking about is, what are my professional highlights? your claims to fame. Where have you solved problems for a company? And how do you know you solved it? What data tells you you solved that problem? Is it uptime? Is it you were able to minimize or reduce the number of problems that they had with viruses? You know, what is it that you did? And think of three things. I want you to do three things because, again, we need proof points. We need proof points now. Now that we've told them what problem you solve, we need proof points to show them how you solve that somewhere else.
Gotcha.
Right? And once you do that, your resume begins to look like the resume of a person that they want to hire.
Rather than just going off of pure accomplishment.
That's right.
Kind of where my resume I got tasked to just think of accomplishments that you can associate a numerical value to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I never really thought about directing it towards solving the problem.
Yes. And when I look, those of the people who are listening can't see this, but you have a rich list of skills that you have in the IT space that are kind of a footnote in your resume. They don't show up until the very last page and the very last section. And I would want to put that up under your skills because that's going to be proof points that you know how to do that. I would much rather have that than have Jimmy John's on here because Jimmy John's does nothing to tell the employer how you're going to solve the problem for them in a cybersecurity world. In fact, I'd probably drop off Jimmy John's. So then we look at, is it better to highlight on your work experience? Is it better to highlight the job title or the company name? And that's a whole other situation that we'd have to talk through, you know, depending on how big the companies are and if there's any, you know, cool companies that you've worked with that carry some weight to it. When I'm looking at these are smaller. They look smaller. Are they small?
Yeah, they're smaller.
Okay. So I just made your decision for you. None of these I've heard of. So we're not going to highlight the name of the company. We're going to highlight the job title, data center technician, right? That's going to speak more to the company than Modia, which nobody's heard of.
Yeah, they're a contractor for Google. And to give a bit of perspective to the listener, I got basically my resume down to a page and a third.
There you go. And I actually am of the belief that a two-page resume, if you have enough, is good. You don't stretch a resume out to be two pages, but if you have content enough to stretch out, then it can be two pages. And for you, it's hard to say because I think we need to do some work on the accomplishments. We really need to build out that last 10 years of self-employment and what you did in the IT space. And we need to minimize the things that are not related to cybersecurity and risk governance and IT.
Do they, this is me trying to apply to a recruiter type space. Do they really view past work, even though it's a customer service driven role, do they really just overlook it and just focus on the problem solving aspect of it when they look at my resume?
They look at only what serves them. And what serves them is whatever's in the job description. Everything else doesn't serve them unless you can somehow tie it in and say, while I was at this company, I solved this problem that's very much like something in the job description. So have you ever used AI? Have you gone into ChatGPT yet?
Yeah, my LinkedIn is heavily AI influenced. So yeah, I've used ChatGPT.
So here's a trick for you. Your resume does need some rework. Whether it's through me or somebody else, it needs some rework. But once you have it reworked, you put your resume in, then you put the job description in that you've identified, that you found, that feels like the one you want to go after. And you say, build me a resume, a better resume from my original based on the new job description and the requirements that they have. Now, you're still going to have to tweak it, but ChatGPT does a pretty good job of actually taking those keywords and working them into your resume to create a better resume. And then it's just up to you to make sure that things that aren't readily available on your resume, like the results that you got, some of the data points that show that you've done something better, that you can, you know, fix that up. Because ChatGPT can't read your mind. So it doesn't know, unless it's already on the resume, it doesn't know about those accomplishments. So you do need to spend some time really identifying the results. But you could turn, with a little bit of certification, additional help, you know, with like Google, And with a rework on your resume, the top section, you could begin to qualify for much higher paying jobs. In fact, this resume that I'm looking at is worth, to me, I would probably pay $35,000 for this guy. But the things that we talked about would put you in a $60,000 range just by making those changes on your resume. So it could change your life in a really positive way if you get that right.
Yeah. Like, I've always kind of wondered where my hang up was, because I mean, this is probably my 15th rework of my resume. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to the interview phase, and I've always thought my anxiety was like got the best of me, where I would always interview not so hot and they would never ever ask me anything towards my resume or about my resume specifically. I always failed at the almost like the technical end.
Well, don't beat yourself up, because the mistake that you're making is this mistake that a lot of people make. They're not clear on their value proposition. Remember the question I asked you in the beginning, tell me what problem you solve. 90% of the people can't answer that question. When you can answer that question, then you can design responses to prove that you have the skill sets to solve those problems, and your interview gets transformed. But what you're describing is really a common problem. If you're not clear on your value proposition, I promise you the employer will not magically be clear on it.
That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, they're just sorting it out too. They're trying to figure out, where does he fit in? The best thing you can do is decide where you fit in advance. Really put it good on that resume at the very top so they see it, and then have proof points. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're the candidate they want to go after.
That, because I've been working with a career coach, and that's the million-dollar question I can't seem to answer, is trying to find my unique value proposition. Even going to the extent of like looking at like companies, EPPs, you know, yeah, with like Apples and all that, and trying to assimilate something that I can relate to mine, when I haven't really actually thought of like the unique value proposition as one that the problem you can answer.
Well, let me give you a couple questions I want you to ask, okay?
Okay.
These are questions I want you to think about. It'll help you a lot. Okay, number one, we already went over, but I'll repeat it. What problem can I solve for the company? The number two question I want you to answer is, what would people say I am known for? That will give you some clues into your value proposition. What am I known for? If somebody, you were to ask somebody, what is he just amazing at? What's his secret sauce? What is that? Okay, so those are really important things. And then the last question is, what company would be optimal for me? Size, industry, you know, what company? For me, because I do fast growth, let's go back to my example. I do fast growth, mergers, acquisitions. The right company for me is a company that wants to have an IPO event or wants to grow very quickly, probably medium-sized company that wants to go public. That's the perfect company. And you have to ask yourself, what is the perfect company to address my skills? Is it a small company that's trying to put in place infrastructure? Is it a medium-sized company that's just trying to tweak its processes? Or is it a large company where you get really niche into one particular thing and you just solve that one problem really, really well? So think about what kind of company has hired me, and you're going to get clues to that by your self-employment for the last 10 years. What kinds of companies have you done contract work for that just feel like it just sails, it just fits? That will be the answer to the third question.
Kind of going back to question two, what would people say I'd be known for? Mm-hmm. I kind of been going through an identity crisis, if you couldn't tell, between IT and the creative space. And if I were to answer number two for you, I'd say a lot more people would know me for my creative aspects than my technological accomplishments.
Well, because we're trying to get a technology job, an IT job, I want you to think about your self-employment and the gig work you've done. And let's isolate it to that, because that's where we're going. That's where we're headed for the future. What are you known for in that space? And not just the technical aspect, but what are you known for style-wise?
Just over-delivering for the customer.
Over-deliver? Great. Yeah. What else?
Like That'd probably be the one thing that I'm really known for is over-delivering.
If you over-deliver, that insinuates to me that you're also really good at gathering requirements. True?
True.
Because you can't over-deliver if you don't know what the requirements are and you're not clear. So that may be another part of your secret sauce is being able to identify the requirements of a project up front rather than needing to redo it on the back end and missing things. True?
Very true. Makes sense there.
Okay. Give me one more thing and then we'll wrap it up. One more thing you're known for.
Being quick about it.
Quick.
Quick turnaround.
Okay. That would insinuate to me that you're somebody that meets your deadlines. Is that true?
Yeah. Unless something catastrophic happens. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Those are things you're going to weave into that first summary statement about yourself. So not only are we talking about your ability to fix IT problems, but we're going to talk about your ability to manage and deliver on a project.
Gotcha.
Okay.
No, that makes so much more sense. It really does.
Well, see, we're starting to get clear. If we had another hour, we would walk away saying, I'm the guy you'd hire if you're this size of company and if you need this thing done and if you need it done this way. And all of a sudden, everything feeds from that point on your resume and everything we give on a bullet point is a proof point towards that.
No, that makes so much more sense because I feel like I've just been in pure triage mode of like, somebody tells you to do this, just do this, right. It'll work.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't clicked on all cylinders until about now or in the last 10 minutes.
Well, Tyler, I am going to send you a resume template with a couple of examples that you can look at that I think would be useful for you and watch for. I teach classes on this and watch for that because I think we could really have you write a better resume without needing to go to the expense of a resume writer. And I'd love to have you check in with me once you've made a second pass at this. I think we've at least got some direction and I think I understand why you're not getting the callbacks. And with a couple of, I'd say a month of getting those classes under your belt and a rework of this, I think you're going to start to see callbacks.
Okay. No, I can definitely check in with you in a month. That's not a problem.
Okay. Well, what was the thing that stuck out to you the most?
How I actually find my unique value proposition.
Okay, good.
Because like I said earlier, that's the $1 million thing I was completely lost in.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad that stuck out for you. And I'm really excited to see where you go next. I really think cybersecurity, if that's your passion, you have a bright future ahead. You just need to get really crystal clear on how you position yourself. But companies will hire you even without a lot of experience in it because it is such a gaping hole.
I hope so.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining the show, Tyler. It's been a pleasure having you. And thank you again for opening up your life to us and your resume. We sure appreciate it.
No, thank you for the opportunity and your help, your tutelage.
I want to remind everybody, we'll have in the show notes a lot of the pieces of information and the resources that I talked about. And I also want to remind folks that they can find more help in the Unspoken Truths for Career Success in the book that just came out under HarperCollins that I wrote. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week. If you like my podcast, you will absolutely love my book. It's called The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, Navigating Pay, Promotions, and Power at Work. I wrote it because I could see that people didn't understand why some people got ahead and some people's career stayed stagnant. So if you're interested in building a more frictionless career path for yourself and having a better experience with work, this is a book that you need to have. It's called The Unspoken Truths for Career Success. You can buy it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or go to my website at thejobdoctor.com.